So we can't really go around the office calling you psycho because people might give some funny looks.
That sounds like the start of a bad joke. BFBS. Pro League,
the lobby. I'm Danny G, and in this new podcast from BFBS, I'm joined by our esports communities manager, Jonah Jupp, to talk all things BFBS Pro League featuring Rocket League, along with some brilliant guests. But Jonah, talk to me, man. Rocket League, what is it? It's a football game, right?
It's like cars, we've got rockets attached to them, they're flying around the match. Anyway, it's a great watch.
You're so excited, I love it.
I know.
The qualifiers have been happening, though, right? Over 1,000 sign-ups, this is big.
It is, it's huge. I mean, if anyone missed any of the qualifiers and wants to have some of the highlights, we've got some for you here right now. Let's go!
BFBS! Triple save by Nizeez, off the crossbar and down. The ball's still not out of danger, off the crossbar again, and EO4 able to find a substantial clearance.
Let's accept Onza with the mighty Giz rumbling into the box.
It's Nizeez that time, lovely first touch, has enough boost to go underneath the car of Wolseley. Squares up against Onza, but Onza maintains his cool. Krim onto the backboard. Nice reset. Fakes it for EO4. And EO4 finds the opening goal. BFBS Pro League,
the lobby. Let's go. That sounds absolutely mental. And can we actually watch this?
Of course you can. You can head over to our YouTube channel, which is BFBS Esports. And of course, make sure you catch our final on the 28th of September.
Oh, yeah, and we've spoken to some incredible people. Who were the first people we spoke to?
So we spoke to Owen Williams, the newest addition to Team Esports here at BFBS, who's taking over as League Operations Manager, running all the leagues for the Armed Forces, and, of course, Robert Wiley, Head of Esports.
Oh, come on, that's the boss, right? Go! You're so theatrical, I love this. It's dramatic, I like it. Are you just trying to impress the boss over here?
There's no need to impress that man, come on.
Oh, okay, I like this. Well, look, welcome to the lobby. Just for anyone tuning in going, what is the BFBS Pro League? What is it?
Well, the BFBS Pro League is the premier competition for the UK Armed Forces community. What we've done is we have built what is going to be the tip-top tier of competition within esports for the military community. This year, we're starting out with Rocket League, and over the course of 8 weeks, we had some of the best teams throughout the whole military community come together and compete to see who's the best.
Yeah, it was over 1,000 signups, right? It's taken off already in its first season.
Yes, it's massive. We had such a good turnout from all corners of the community, not just serving personnel, but every aspect of this community. We'll have someone representing them. And we saw a flurry of people sign up and take part. And throughout the whole skill levels as well, we had so many people come in.
And what's your background? How did you get into not only esports, but how did you become the head of BFBS Esports?
Oh, this is a long story. So this starts back 15 years ago. So for me, I originally got into esports after a rugby injury, and it was just the natural next step for me. I needed something competitive to sink my teeth into. And at the time, esports was not a big thing around the world. It was really only popular within South Korea. So within the West, it just wasn't a thing. So for me, it was a dream to get involved, and it started the next 15 years of my career, which saw me work with all the biggest esports teams around the world and create some really cool events. And that kind of set me up perfectly for what this role is, which is really dynamic across all disciplines of esports, but really to kind of come together and build this show and make it as cool as possible.
And military connections, like, is this the first time getting into them?
Yes.
Have you found them? Come on.
It's been a really fun kind of baptism to what this culture is all about. I had a really good time out in Cyprus seeing what life is like out in Akrotiri and Episcopi and things like that. It's been really fun to onboard and meet all of the people who make up this community. And like I said, it's been amazing.
I think I'm going to have to make him a dictionary, though.
Oh, no, really?
I find myself a lot of the time trying to translate things for Robert, like what Jen is, what Fred is means, things like that.
Oh, so he doesn't know? That's rats, man.
I know. Rats on that. Now I'm cringing. I gritted my teeth there. No, but yeah, we're going to make a decipher, like, code book for both Owen and Robert, make things into plain, simple military or civilian speech, should I say.
Well, Jonah, I don't know if you agree with this, but once you're in the military community, there's no leaving. So welcome.
You'll find yourself using the lingo everywhere, but just try and not do it and make it so cringe. That,
yeah, because the military aren't always a big fan of civvies using the lingo. You just saw Jonah's face there when I used rats. Yeah, so look, obviously, it's a huge thing, and congratulations to you three as the BFBS Esports team. Why Rocket League?
Why not?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, fair question. Fair answer. I like it.
Robert, you go, because you're the one who...
The serious answer here is Rocket League is just the easiest esports to get involved in, really. Within a couple of minutes of watching it, you know exactly what's going on, you know exactly what you're in for. Quick games, 5 minutes go at a time. 3v3. It's very simple, very fun game to watch, and obviously the skill level's there as well. So once you actually get kind of onboarded to the game, there's so much more you can discover about it.
Yeah, you're right, because like, it's simple in concept, but it's not a simple game to play.
Exactly,
I mean, I have attempted it. There is a big skill level involved.
I'm terrible. Yeah. I've been told to never touch a controller again.
Oh no. Did you rage quit?
I did rage quit.
Oh no.
But one person who hasn't rage quit and also particularly good at Rocket League as an ex-professional player in the eSport, Owen, our new League Operations Manager here at BFBS eSports. Welcome, first of all, to BFBS and also to the department. Tell us a little bit about your background, Owen.
Yeah, it's awesome to be here. My background is pretty much that childhood dream, so when I was 14, maybe 15 years old, Rocket League was first released. And my big ambition was to sort of set my mission to the stars and just accomplish everything that a pro player could dream of. I got into first year of university at Portsmouth and I had a $15,000 check come my way from a competition. And everyone refers to my name and a certain mechanic in that game now, which is an absolute privilege.
So your nickname's Psycho.
That's right. The one. Yeah.
We had this conversation on Monday when he started, so we can't really go around the office calling you Psycho because people might give some funny looks. But the Psycho shot, as we know now in the Rocket League community, is what you invented and won that £15,000 prize for. How did it feel to win that amount of money playing a video game?
Absolutely shocking. I mean, the conversation that I had to have with my parents was just comical. So I just randomly gave them a call and said, "What do you do when you get $15,000? And they're like, "Excuse me?
That sounds like the start of a bad joke.
Pay off my mortgage, please.
What are you up to?" I ended up buying some car insurance and a kebab. That's what I did with the money. Nothing extravagant.
That's about all you can stretch to these days.
Oh, wait, no. If that's all you've paid for then with that money, chuck us a fiver.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've got you covered.
A car insurance is £15,000 alone these days. So.
That's insane.
Yeah, and that was honestly my route into sort of moving this forward to a career path. So I then worked in event organisation with a US company, and I was doing all sorts of tournaments and leagues across a whole range of esports. So Rocket League was just one of them. I touched Apex Legends, a whole bunch of EA games as well, and everything in between. And coming here to join BFBS is just an absolute privilege because it's the start. It's the start of that big boom towards supporting the military and the armed forces communities in games and esports. And yeah, awesome to be here.
100%. And obviously you've got the player experience, but you've also done coaching, you've been a caster, you've been around all the different roles esports as a profession
yeah,
that we're looking for. And I mean, especially when you approached us to come forward for this job, I mean, yeah, we didn't need to ask much. And that's what, I mean, a lot of us here.
Are you fangirling a little bit? I feel
you're
like
you're
going to
make
are.
Me blush, buddy.
Fangirl. Stop it. I'm sorry. No, but yes, welcome to the team, first of all. And we're really excited to see where we can take this.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I know that obviously this being the first of the Lobby series, this week's theme, of course, is your first game. Want to hear from both of you about what your first game was, but also the next game in BFBS Esports in the league. What do you reckon? What would you want to see? Is there anything right now? What's the hot trend?
Yeah, so next year we're going to be testing a bunch of things, and that's probably not the answer you're looking for in terms of giving you a set game, but what we're really going to do is trial out all the community, see where the appetite is, see which tournaments are going to get the most traction, and wherever there's a pocket of people who want to play games, we're going to go out there and build a tournament for it.
See, all I heard then was, I want BFBS to send me to every overseas location. Only the hot ones. Only the really hot
ones,
though.
Might be that Scottish accent.
No.
Where I'm going to test it out.
Let's find the cold ones. I'll go all the cold places, not the hot ones.
Oh, okay, good. Well, you will love the Falklands, by the way.
You should have seen us at React. We were suffering in that heat. It was brutal.
Okay, so no, but just, I mean, throw a few names out there. I'm not asking you to make any promises right now, but what was your first game, and would you ever want to see that game maybe in the league?
So for me, one of the first games I played was World of Warcraft. Unfortunately, that's not a type of game that would work for this community, but the other game that I followed up and played was a lot of StarCraft 2, which maybe there's a pocket. It's a very old game. We're talking 20 years old at this point. But in terms of other games that could be on the circuit, we're looking at potentially League of Legends, which is a MOBA game. It's got a lot of kind of push behind it. A ton of people play that game, and it's quite popular within the military circle as well. Other games we're looking at potentially is a simulator game like a Formula One or potentially iRacing. We're trying to get into motorsports and help support that. So that could be on the horizon as well for us.
Very nice. You know I want Overcooked to be a tournament.
We'll make a tournament. Owen, let's get on that.
When you said simulator, I was thinking Sims. What? No, it can't.
Simulator.
There was that TV show that wasn't there a couple of years ago. Did you guys ever see that? Where it was a competition of people making things in Sims.
Yeah, I saw that.
So esports has been around for many, many years. But I mean, you guys must have seen it grown so, so, so much and must be very proud to be a part of, like you said earlier, Rob, something that's brand new within this community.
Yeah. So for me, I've seen every era of esports, and to see where it's at today is phenomenal. You know, back in the day, no one gave us a chance for esports to be a thing. Everybody said, you know, this is not going to work out, it's not going to be popular, and year after year it just continues to build and take over, to the point where we went from tiny little sort of LAN arenas to full-on stadiums. You know, it's absolutely insane the amount of people that come along to some of these events. You know, we've had events out in South Korea, for example, where it's filled 60,000 seater stadiums. So the love for esports is massive. To see where it's at today, it's absolutely phenomenal.
I've got a question for all three of you, actually, if you don't mind. I'm sorry, maybe I'm taking up too much of your time here. But obviously, I saw a little bit of an esports competition recently, and it's all PCs. PC is the new big thing. You told me that. Remember when I was asking on social media, Jonah?
For sure, yeah.
I'm an Xbox girl. So any gamer listening to this going, I want to win 15 grand just like Owen did. And get into this professionally. Is it PC and PC only, or can people have played on the Xbox, PlayStation? Are they all skills that transfer across different consoles?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, a lot of games are still controller first. Even though they're played on a PC, they'll still use a controller for it. Predominantly Rocket League is one of those games where everybody tends to play controller. Call of Duty is another one. But PC just tends to take over because it's the highest spec. It can keep the games running at the best performance. So a lot of tournament organizers will tend to go for that just because it's the best option. But the best way in is obviously consoles, getting in, starting to play competitively. Absolutely. That is how a lot of people discover esports and start their pathway or their journey to becoming a pro.
It's also the publisher issue as well, as we find a lot of publishers that only go between either, we're PlayStation exclusive or Xbox exclusive.
Oh, nice.
But don't worry, guys, we're also on PC. So everyone goes for PC because they get everything. So it's one of those. And also the indie games that are out there at the moment and all those new early access games, you won't get those on console. PC is the way forward. I'm sorry to all the console fans out there, but it is. All right, we'll ruin the PlayStation Xbox argument right here, right now.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the first episode of The Lobby. It's been an absolute pleasure to finally meet you as well, the brains behind BFBS Esports. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
It was great, wasn't it?
It was very good. Really good talkers, and there was, it's so lovely to finally meet them. Obviously, this is a brand new department, but you think they're ready to integrate into the military community? You think they're going to fall in love with it?
Well, they jumped them with both feet now, so we've got
well and truly in, definitely. It was really great to speak to them and find out a lot more about how this whole operation is going to work. And we are going to speak to some incredible people on the series of The Lobby, so please make sure you subscribe. Who did we speak to next?
Gordon Jones,
the Godfather. Let's go! The founder of Navy Esports. But it didn't happen overnight, though, did it, Gordon? And it's a great story. How did it happen?
It is a fantastic story. So I'll be fair, the RAF got there before us. They got off the ground with their RAF Esports organisation first. And a group of junior sailors in the Navy saw what they were doing and thought that they really wanted to get a piece of that action. And they went out to try and get started. But they were really struggling to kind of get any traction and to get any people interested in it. And ultimately, it came down an awful lot of it to come back when you've got someone with a little bit more seniority to kind of help put some impetus behind this conversation. Luckily, one of the sailors and I had served together previously. We'd played Dungeons and Dragons on deployment together, and he called me up completely out of the blue, and it was like, Gordon, you game? I was like, mate, you know how much Diablo 3 we play together, like, genuinely, yes, you know I game. And he just outlined this whole idea to me, and I was just like, you know what, this sounds fantastic. So I went for it, found a person at Navy Sport to call up about it, called them, and they were just like, ah. So we told them to go and find an officer, and apparently they have. So what is it you want to do? It's like, I want to put the white ensign on the leaderboard at an esports competition. I want to do this above board officially, and I want us to go away and be able to tell people we are Royal Navy Esports. They came back with a long shopping list of things that they needed, of bureaucracy that you need to be able to get a sporting team off the grounds. It was nothing. It was during COVID lockdown. I sat down with an iPad, typed out all the documents that they wanted, smashed it all out, and sent it in about 2.5 hours later. And they sat there and went, weren't quite expecting this to get turned around this quickly. And then it all went quiet. very, very quiet until eventually I just got bored of waiting. So the second Sea Lord had an Ask Me Anything email address. So I emailed them and said, why do the Army and the RAF have esports teams, but the Navy haven't made any progress on establishing ours? And about an hour later, I got a phone call saying, did you really email the second Sea Lord about this? Well, did you really not process my application?
There's always one way to jump to the top, Gordon, isn't there?
I knew you'd like this story.
I know, it's great. I mean, talking to my own Gordon, right? Back in the day, I know you love to put your finger in a lot of things. And, you know, we definitely love to see the fact that you've made it out there by jumping straight to the top of the chain of command to make this happen.
Please, please. The phrase we use is, I'm a disruptor.
Disruptor, yes, yes.
I get in there and I change the way people approach things. And to me, a problem is a challenge. It's literally just something that is just waiting for me to find a way to be able to make it work. And, you know, fair play, the Navy managed to take it on board. We got an esports team off the ground and we were taking part in competitions. And we've done exactly what it is that I said was my ambition. We put the White Ensign on a leaderboard and, you know, we're really achieving. So I'm really, really proud of what the team that were working for me managed to take forward and what I managed to lead forward. But, you know, yes, I'm the founder. Yes, it was my name that was on the founding chairs, paperwork, when we set that all up. Could I have done it without all the people who actually came up with the idea and asked me to get involved? No, not in the slightest. And did I quite happily hand it all back over to other people when it was time for me to step aside? Yes, because I knew that we'd created an organisation that had sustainability, it had longevity, it was going to last. And that was really when I knew it was time for me to step away and put some fresh brains behind making it happen.
For sure. And I mean, from what I've seen throughout my career sort of in esports, and you know, from how Navy esports has grown, it's definitely still got your mark on it. And what Navy esports has become now is quite the credit to the Armed Forces esports community. So I think everyone in the esports community, Armed Forces esports community, knows who you are, and is still there.
Well, in that case, can I vote then, Jonah, that we don't call Gordon the founder of Navy esports? I reckon we call him the godfather.
The grandfather, the godfather.
The godfather.
The godfather of Navy esports.
I think there are some people who would probably take to that.
Well, look, Gordon, last time when we spoke, we ended up having a bit of a chat. And Jonah, I want your thoughts on this. I purposefully have been avoiding you recently for this purpose.
That's rude.
No, so that you weren't prepared.
Okay,
because,
all right.
Look, you know, you guys are like the pundits. You guys are the experts. But we were chatting about gaming today, those games, and how far they've come. What was the game, Gordon, that years ago, and Jonah, you might be able to jump in first, whoever, you know, does this first gets a point. What was the game that leaked all the documents years ago?
War Thunder.
Well, yeah, talk to us about that then, Gordon, because the military accuracies today, because you're here to talk about like security and being safe online while gaming.
Yeah, War Thunder is the classic example of where people's passions sometimes overtake their common sense. And War Thunder as a game is a military simulation game. It's very, very popular online. I mean, it doesn't have the following of the massive games like Call of Duty, but it's probably one of the most popular military simulation games out there. And one of the things about War Thunder is it's really, really proud of the fact that it has huge amounts of accuracy in the way that it's built. And they build, you know, three-dimensional models of the tanks and the planes and the ships that are involved. And it prides itself on the fact that, you know, if you shoot a tank, for example, in War Thunder, you know, it will model which part of the internal elements of the tank you've hit based upon where your shot would have landed and the way, the type of shot that you used. That's all fantastic. The problem is that we've had a couple of occasions where people have been playing War Thunder and something has happened and this simulation has come up and it's gone into one of the many, many, many online forum where people discuss these things, and it's come back and it's like, that's not how an Abrams tank would respond if you were to shoot it there. It wouldn't have hit the ammunition stowage, it would have hit the water boiler, or it wouldn't have hit that part, it would have hit, and people start arguing about it. And then what's happened previously is someone has gone, look, you're all wrong. Here's the highly classified document that is the entire manufacturing document for the Abrams tank. And look, if you hit it there, it would have hit this. And someone goes, oh, right, that's interesting. And people are playing this game from all over the world. I mean, War Thunder is hugely popular in China, which means uploading classified documents to, you know, American or British or you know, anybody's, you know, military hardware into a forum where people are going to be able to see it it's a bit of a no-no. In fact, it's a lot of a no-no.
It's
in fact,
scary.
It will get you into huge quantities of trouble. Because what it means is someone has gone away, found that document on the classified systems that it sits on, somehow extracted it from there, put it on their personal computer so they can then upload it into the forum to be able to do it. And it breaches so many of our regulations, which are there for really, really sensible reasons. But they do it because they want to be proved right in the argument online. Now, I think there's one thing that everyone can accept these days, which is there are no winners in online arguments.
Why is... Oh,
but
God, yes, and continue.
That, by the same merit, you have the constant arguments in lobbies about that, especially for female gamers, like, get back in the kitchen and make me a sandwich. And ultimately,
sorry.
You know...
A sandwich?
A sandwich.
Oh, right,
sorry,
okay.
I lived in America for 3 years, and for some reason, like, vowel consonants are not always popular. but it is that situation that... You know, toxic masculinity has got no place in online.
And it's very key to highlight, Gordon, I think, as well, that these people are held to account at the highest level, aren't they? That, you know, mm-hmm. these people that are making those comments means that have no place within esports. And, you know, with the whole Game Changers situation, for anyone who doesn't know what Game Changers is, it's the female introduction to esports and a female exclusive tournaments and things like that. Now, you know, especially with that scene coming along in a more of a high tier one esports level, it's very important to highlight that there's no place in the wider esports community, and it's not accepted anymore. None of that homophobic, sexist comments, and those people are generally outed, and their careers are short-lived, should we say.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And things like the Game Changers and League and all of the work that women in esports have been doing. I mean, I've been working with women in esports since they established, 4 years, 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. And I've been part of their organisation. I've been part of the GameHers organisation as well,
yeah.
You know, effectively since their inception, because finding ways to be able to actually counter that frankly just unacceptable, you know, recidivist attitude that you see in a lot of gaming lobbies, and people going, oh, this is a man's space. No, it's not, it's gaming.
Yeah,
you know, we're playing video games. How, in what way would it be a man's space?
This is fantastic in terms of you know, the esports in the Olympics and the sort of the balance between male and female participation. You know, everyone's got this massive persona that female participants are more of a disadvantage than men, but gaming just levels that playing field, you know, and seeing mixed teams in more esports is something I'm really excited to see. So I think that's really important to highlight, that we're doing things about that.
I think it's incredible as well, the way that esports has developed. Obviously, we have, for the very first time, BFBS Esports Pro League.
The Pro League, yes. We're very excited. Yes.
Final is coming up.
Oh, no.
But let's talk again about how, you know, our military guys and girls, when they are gaming, how they can stay safe online. Because I know that we've gone to the extreme of somebody who's taken classified documents and tried to prove a point in the middle of an argument on a forum. But even when you're maybe in a live chat, you're in the heat of the moment, like you say, we've mentioned egos as well, and just adrenaline. But what about when you're on some of these games and you might end up having a bit of military chat? If it's not closed off to your own mates, you don't know who you're speaking to, you don't want to be talking about your own deployments and things like that. So dangers of it, really. Like, what's your advice in terms of separating the adrenaline to the just be careful what you share online?
Really, it's a matter of practice, and it's a matter of just thinking before you speak. Yes, in the moment in a game, people will make comments and things like that, and people will talk about things, but keep it when you're in that moment of the game, when everything is at the heated passion, keep things in game. When you get to the stage where it's out of game or something like that, and you are having those conversations, don't share with the discussion in there something that you wouldn't want to share with everybody on the internet. Because once something is out there on the internet, then it is out there for everybody. You know, don't share classified information. Remember the fact that we get all of our annual security briefings and things like that, and how to be able to keep ourselves safe in those situations. And remember that, you know, you're not supposed to share operational information. Don't tell people, you know, when your ship is next going to be sailing or where your next port of call is going to be. Don't tell people when your unit is going to be rotating into or out of theatre and things like that, because that's information which the public doesn't need to have. And if the public doesn't need to have that information, then you shouldn't be sharing it in a gaming forum. And whether that be in a voice call or whether that be in a Discord server for a game that you're playing in, or for a league that you're playing in or something like that. Or if you've got your own personal Discord server because you're a really popular or even a slightly popular gamer online. Everybody seems to go, I'm going to create myself a Twitch channel, then I'm going to create myself a Discord server, and then and they go off and do that. And actually, people in your Discord server do not need to know what your deployment schedule is.
It's exactly that. I think Gordon as well is really important. The fact that Twitch and, you know, clipping and things like that's a very common practice now, where people are trying to catch their best moments, of people are live streaming all the time. And even that one thing you say, although you might not think people are recording or capturing, you know, what you're saying, you know, it can be easily replayed and things like that. It comes with a toxicity in chats as well, and, you know, disclosing that information. I think it's really important that people, you know, call out people, you know, giving away per sec and opsec sort of information, and highlighting that to the chain of command to make sure it doesn't happen again. Because it's not just about keeping themselves safe, but it's all about keeping the people they work with, those and their colleagues, especially like you say, yep, on things like ships and things like that, very sensitive information that we can't be disclosing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is. It's not just about your personal safety. Yes, you should use all of the good personal practices that we know and love and do for years about whether or not you use, you know, antivirus software, whether you use a VPN in order to protect your personal location, your personal your IP and everything like that, to be able to protect your location, your identity online, to keep it safe.
And Gordon, you spoke about the VPNs and sort of the importance of protecting your personal information. What's the best way to stop things like doxing happening? Doxing, for anyone who doesn't know, is someone sort of phishing for your IP address or your personal sort of email, also internet address, to locate you and figure out where you are. What's the best sort of counter to that, and to keep our personnel safe?
Well, really, it depends upon on what it is that you're doing. So doxing became really, really prolific last year in a couple of the games that I play. And if people suspected or they saw that you were someone who may be someone who'd disrupt whatever it was they were planning on doing in the game, then, you know, there are tools out there to allow them to be able to dox you and take you offline, or at least reduce your effectiveness in game and things like that. And you can use VPNs in order to be able to effectively shield your IP address and things like that, which will make it more difficult to be able to do it. There is nothing that will protect you from an absolutely determined attacker from something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's exactly the same theory as putting a bike lock on your bike or something like that. If someone shows up with an angle grinder, they will take any bike lock off your bike if they really, really want your bike. The point is, you want to make it so that you are safe as possible and less attractive than the next person down the line, which means using a good, solid, robust VPN, especially ones that are designed for gaming. I won't recommend any here, but you can look online. There are VPNs specifically designed for gaming, which will reduce their impact on your latency and things like that. But there is a fractional impact on your game performance sometimes if you're using a VPN, because it does very slightly slow down your connection, but it does that in the interests of your personal safety.
Exactly.
So there is nothing wrong with it. But remember, always use a VPN in a safe and legal way. And Defense recommends a couple of different VPNs for people to look into as well. And depending upon your deployment schedules, there are ways of being able to get some support from Defense in order to establish a VPN for your personal or for your use whilst you're conducting military business, which now that esports is a recognized sport, people who are competing on behalf of the military could arguably put forward a case to say that their gaming is in the military's interest, and they can take that forward. I do not know if
they're
going
to come to you for this,
but
though
you can always ask.
Oh, you've just given so many people an idea, and they're going to go, I know who I need to help me out with this.
I can see people already typing away on JPA trying to put that claims expense in, going, justification is esports need.
Yes.
Remember, you need to reference the actual source document, so they need to make sure they go all the way down into whichever is the current document that says that we're a recognized sporting community.
Yeah, for sure.
And then that is your justification. Remember, if there isn't a reference, you're not getting it out of JPA.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the advice right there. Look, Gordon Jones, the godfather of Navy esports, thank you so much for joining us today. Before we let you go, I would just like you to share a fun fact that you happily shared with me last week. I didn't tell you this because I want to see your face, right?
Okay.
So all I'm going to say to you, just to remind you, Gordon, is 14 and a half Twickenham stadiums.
Ah, 14 and a half Twickenham stadiums. So this is the size of the crowd that were watching the first esporting competition that Navy Esports took part in. So this was Code Bowl back in 2020. Mm-hmm. And we got all the feedback back, and it came back and it was like, this is the number of people who watched the stream. And I remember talking to Dan and Tim, who were my opposite numbers from RAF and Army, and we were just like, how do we even conceptualize this when we try and present this to our Navy, our media teams? And I was like, boom, I've got this. What's the capacity for Twickenham Stadium? It's that. Brilliant. This was watched by 14 and a half full capacity Twickenham stadiums.
I remember that coming out. I remember my jaw dropped. I was like, insane numbers. And this is why I've always said Army versus Navy rugby needs to watch out, because
I'm a rugby girl as well as
esports. 14 times your capacity. Crazy.
Okay, I know who I'm putting my money on. If I was a betting woman anyway. Gordon, thank you so much.
Cheers. BFBS, the lobby.
Let's go. And we are going to be speaking to plenty more people, some of the biggest names within esports, aren't we, Jonah?
Yes, we are indeed. We've got plenty of guests coming up over the next couple of weeks. And also, we're going to be coming at you live from the esports final.
And to hear more exactly like this, don't forget to follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Search for BFBS Pro League The Lobby
Podcast Edition. Go!